Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically, the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here. TK Show, recording on a dark and stormy early morning Thursday in the Bay Area. I don't know what it's like in New York right now, but I'm sure it's not dark and stormy because it's always sunshine wherever Tim Bontemps is. Hey everybody, it's the ESPN senior writer, Tim Bontemps, star of multiple podcasts. I am all for that, being someone who does a lot of podcasts. You're back with Slater now with the stock report. I have not been able to listen to it lately. I'm sure it's full of JaVale McGee, many other times. So I got to check that out. That Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing great, TK. That was the Slater actually reminded me that was the genesis of the initial stock report was your pal Slater and Marcus Thompson trying to tell me that JaVale was good back in the day, me being indignant about it. And that led to the initial stock report on the Twitters. But yeah, back to doing that. Glad to be working with Slater again. And it's been a pretty dreary few days in New York. Jalen Brunson sprained his ankle last night. I was ready for it to be another dreary morning talking about how the Warriors were going off the rails. And they decided to do what they do and have a crazy 24 hours end with a wild win last night instead. So
you never know what you're gonna get when you plot out a podcast to talk about the NBA, right? You do it beforehand and then who the hell knows which way it's gonna go.
Oh, and that's especially the case with the Warriors, who and you know better than anybody, the reason they've been such an incredibly compelling bunch for a long time is because they leave it all out there all the time, both on the court and in the media and on Twitter and everywhere else. And, it's what's made them such a fascinating story for so long. And it's why, you know, it's not just that Steph is a singular talent, right? It's like the whole mix of the personalities involved and the way they talk about everything and the way it's all just sitting out there for everybody to see. It's not, a lot of teams are just not like that in sports, let alone in the NBA, even in the drama-filled NBA. It's not – you don't see as much stuff out in the open as there is with this Warriors team. And it's what made the obliteration on Tuesday night followed by what happened in San Antonio all the more interesting.
Yeah, it's the weight of it. But let's get into it. Two nights ago, they get destroyed in Oklahoma City. Not a rare thing in the NBA this season. Because we saw what the Thunder did in LA on a back-to-back. They're great. And they don't have Jalen Williams.
They're the 2015-16 Warriors,
TK. They are.
That's who I've thought they were since the summer, up into and including the part where people doubted them coming off of that title, which I thought was crazy. And I thought coming into the season, they were miles ahead of the field. And if they didn't win, you know, I have a lot of respect for the people in OKC. They do not like it when I say these things, but like they should be winning 70 games at this point or like pushing for it. They won 68 last year and they are just way ahead of everybody and should be. So like, yeah, that to me, like I was in Boston. I was at Philly, Boston, close, fun game. I get the transcripts from the pressers around the league at night through our system. And I saw the Warriors got smacked. Steph had been out. I was like, okay, you know, whatever. Like, it's not that bad of a result, really. And then I read the quotes. And I said, oh, okay. There might be some more going on here right now.
So what do you say? Draymond obviously was the most specific about, you know, the commitment isn't the same. Not specifically by Slater, like what's different between right now? You know, they had lost six straight road games. They were 6-6. Between what's happening now and the 23-8 finish with Jimmy Butler, we know what they did in the playoffs. And Draymond talked about commitment, and we don't want to go through all this. And
yeah,
said you're going to be committed to this, or you know, you're going to have a personal agenda that works for winning, or you're going to get yourself, your personal agenda is going to get you out of here. It was very specific. How does the league read this, Tim? How do you read this as someone who knows the Warriors, but also knows just kind of the flow of a season? Do you think this was, I mean, I don't want to say it was headed to a crash because we all know one win changes that, and they win in San Antonio.
Right.
Where are they in just as the league looks at their roster and looks at just knowing that this is the end of something, but they want to sustain it? Obviously, Jonathan Kuminga's name comes up. I'm writing a column. I was set to write it on what they might be able to get in a trade early on. It's not trade season yet, but it's time to start looking at it. Just how do you view the big picture of this roster formulation?
It's a really interesting question, Tim, because there's not, I think, a clear path for what Golden State should do, right? Part of it is what we just talked about. I think it's admirable and I think correct to want to try to maximize Steph's end as much as you can, right? He's one of the all-time good people in the sport. He's had an unbelievable career. He's an unbelievable guy, and I think wanting to do right by him is the right thing and the correct thing to do as a team. On the other hand, let's just go back to the game Tuesday night. I'll set the Denver game last week aside a little bit because Steph was out, and when Steph's out, you're not going to expect them to go to Denver and look that good or win. I mean, Jokic, I was sitting on my couch last night when I got home from the Knick game watching Jokic put up 55 and three quarters, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, I mean, he's on another level too. But if you watch that Thunder game, it's very hard for me to see how anybody with a straight face can look at that and say, yeah, the Warriors can go toe-to-toe with them this year and win. Now, I'm not going to rule it out. We've seen crazy things happen. Injuries can always happen. I'm not saying that one game should underpin your thinking for what the season should be. But I do think the bar to clear should be pretty high to make a significant move with the roster, especially when, you know, like whether it's Giannis or other guys, if there's some guy that comes along that the Warriors can throw all their assets at and potentially get that could really be a difference-making guy and a guy that is a bridge to whatever is after Steph and these guys are done, like they don't have their whole war chest of stuff. So I think you have to be judicious in waiting for whether that kind of opportunity comes along. Then you have the Kuminga part of it. And the thing that's interesting is if you do a look around the league at guys who, because remember, without getting too into it, the Warriors are pretty compacted because of the trade rules and they don't have a lot of wiggle room. It's not like they could trade Jonathan Kuminga for a guy making $50 million, really, right? Nope. Like, nope. It's kind of got to be somebody in a roughly similar financial range.
Or they got to put Butler or Draymond in it.
Right, that's, exactly. Yeah. Or you've got to do some, like, gigantic trade, right? Yeah.
They went 4-for-1 last time for Butler.
Right, yes. Right. So, like, if you're trying to think about trades for Jonathan Kuminga, like, I've done the exercise. I did it when they signed him. I went through all the teams in the league. I looked at players around the league. There's not a ton of obvious, oh yeah, go get that guy. That makes a lot of sense moves. Again, because if you're trading, you know, if you're trading Kuminga and other assets to get a guy who's somewhat better, but not, you know, massively better, are you taking yourself out of the mix for doing something really big after that? Which, you, as you and I both know, that's what they're always thinking about doing, right? It's always about the next big star. So I don't, this probably sounds like a bit of a cop-out, but we're 13 games in, they're 7-6. I think right now it's fair to question, is this team really a top six team in the West? I think when they're playing well, they're a top four team in the West, but they're going to have more peaks and valleys than a lot of teams because they're built around a bunch of 35-year-old guys who are going to be waxing and waning from a energy standpoint during the season. And is that going to be enough to get them in the top six and therefore to likely avoid Denver and OKC in the first round? I don't know. So I think it's probably a better question to ask the day Jonathan Kuminga is trade eligible on January 15th as to where things sit and what they should do. I think the fact that he has their one big salary that you look at and say, logically, that's the guy that they're going to put in a trade. The fact that he can't be traded until January 15th, I think, is a benefit to Mike Dunleavy and the Warriors front office, because they do have to just sit and wait and see where the team is at. And then they'll have 3 weeks to really decide what direction they want to go. But I sort of think ultimately the answer to the question of, like, how aggressive should the Warriors be and what position are the Warriors in and what are they going to do is going to be dictated as much by their record as it is by what anybody else thinks of their team. And that's generally what I think what the league would say, that, like, you know, there's pretty high level of respect for the Warriors and their ability when they're right. But how often are they going to be right? And how often are they going to be slowed down by injury and age? And if you look around the league, the Clippers do not look very good. Philly last year did not look good. These teams that are built around, you know, the Dallas has gotten off to a rough start. Though that's really just a couple of their older players being hurt. But what we're seeing is it's a bad time to be old in the NBA. And if you've got to get through 82 games and you're relying on 35-year-old guys, or in Al Horford's case, a 39 or 40-year-old guy, it's a challenge to get through the season with the stress and wear and tear of it, and, you know, having to navigate that with a bunch of guys towards the end of their careers. And so I think what Golden State's record is on January 15th, as much of a cop-out it is on November 13th to say that's what we'll really know, I do think the season will sort of tell us what the likely path is going to be. And if they're in the mix, let's say they're fifth or sixth or higher on January 15th, then yeah, I think you can look at it and say, all right, we've got a real shot to make a run and be in the mix. If we can get a difference-making player and Steph's cooking and playoff Jimmy's here and Draymond's doing his thing, you know, we saw those guys, you know, Steph had 46 on Wednesday. Draymond Green did a great job on Victor on Wednesday. Like, they can dial it up when they need to. So if they're sitting there in that kind of position, yeah, then I could certainly see them being a team that people are worried about. I also could see a world where they're 500 or so on January 15th and they're in ninth. And it's like, okay, where are we really going this season with the Warriors? I think the next 2 months will just kind of tell us which side of that coin we're going to get.
Of course, that was where they were last February, and they traded 4-for-1 and went double down with Jimmy Butler.
And if you go back and look at the price, right, it wasn't a very high price.
No.
Right? Like, it was a discount price for a distressed asset, and they took it on, and it worked out well. And, like, if you tell me that some similar scenario happens this year, like, that would make sense to me as a path for them to go. Because, again, like, we know they're going to try to maximize what they are. We also know they're not – I would be surprised if they take themselves fully out of the mix for the really potential big swings that could come next summer. And that's a hard line to walk, and it's been a hard line to walk for a while.
The price was the 2-year extension for Jimmy Butler. That was the price, I think. You know,
and even that too, Tim, like let's be honest, right? If they want to make some huge star trade this summer, they then have an enormous expiring contract to make a trade with, right? So it's really, it was really, okay, you get Jimmy for last year, you get Jimmy for this year, and then you see where things are at.
Yep.
Like that's really the way to look at it.
And if they have, if they're going to make a monster move, it has, as we've said, it has to pretty much has to include the Butler contract, and that's all good going in. The question we could have asked, we talked about all summer long, we're going to keep talking about it. What is Jonathan Kuminga really worth in this league? What is he? What is he seen as? I know it varies team to team, but as I'm going through this process, I'm just going, I mean, do you just sell him to try to get a first round pick? Because I think there's one team that we know that would probably do that. It's in Sacramento. And not try to get a player that really would help you? Or do you have to get a player? Can you get a player? I'm just trying to figure, do you sell on him? Are you buying with him? What is the kind of general idea that you've got on him? And what do you think that market? It's going to obviously go up and down. It's already gone up and down this season. Up and then down.
I mean, he's a really interesting player, right? Because I would say he's sort of an NBA version of a Rorschach test, where you can look at Jonathan Kuminga and sort of take away from him whatever it is you want to see. Like, he's a 6'8 toolbox who can jump out of the gym, who can create his own shot, who, when he's locked in, can really guard, right? Like, if you want to see a wing who can play at both ends and be a guy that gets you 20-plus a night, like, you can see that player, right? You can also see a guy that is pretty inefficient, that waxes and wanes from an effort standpoint, that can be not very locked in on the defensive end. And that guy has, you know, played behind Gui Santos at times for Steve Kerr, right? You could also say that the Warriors at times, you know, if you want to argue, certainly certain people would argue that the Warriors haven't always put him in the optimal position to succeed, right? There's a lot of different, like I said, there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. And I think he is the kind of guy, to your point, that I think depending on the person evaluating him across the league, there's going to be different feelings on just how good he is and just how effective he is. That's what makes – it's why it's been such an interesting story. Like I've had kind of a running joke with Slater for months that, you know, we spent a lot of time on maybe the seventh guy on the Warriors this summer.
Yes.
And some of that was because there was nothing going on in the NBA offseason. And so it's like, oh, we could talk about Steph. So you talk about Steph, right? But some of it also is that it is an interesting intersection of not just the player and what the value is of the player. But I think the even more interesting part, Tim, is what you said. Like, what should the goal for the Warriors be, right? And to me, like, that's almost more interesting than the actual discussion of how good Jonathan Kuminga is. Is like, what is the correct path for Golden State to take? Is it to turn him into the best collection of assets they can get to then use for something else? Is it to use him as a salary to get another player in right now? Is it to wait and try to develop him into a high impact player and not trade him? Like, that to me, discussion of like what his value is to the Warriors and what path they should take is almost even more interesting. And ultimately, I would say that for where their team is right now, he does some stuff for their roster, like in terms of his on-ball defense and some of the other stuff that they don't really have a replacement for on hand. So I don't think selling him off for if they could get a top 10 pick in this year's draft, sure. Like, you take that for sure. If they're getting some lottery protected pick or some future pick or something that's not very valuable, I don't think losing a $25 million salary slot, which is really just saving you money, then really helps very much. So I would say they should either hold or they should use him to get somebody that can help them now. And again, the challenge of finding somebody who can help them now is when you do the process of, and I, I would encourage fans to do this. Like, you know, people joke around about like getting in the trade machine, and I've certainly been sent plenty of trade machine ideas that are not good. But if you just go in the trade machine and you look around the league at numbers around Jonathan Kuminga's number and try to find players that are really going to help the Warriors, it's not obvious.
I've been doing it myself.
No, it's right. It's
like Trey Murphy is like it right now.
There's basically one guy. And again, it's like, is Trey Murphy going to be available? If Trey Murphy's available, what are you paying for him? Like, the Warriors only have so many first round picks. Are you giving up a first or two for Trey Murphy and then not being able to do other stuff? I think that's a very real question. Like, is that a good idea? So it is not as simple as, and honestly, there's a real value in doing those kind of exercises, because I was certainly a chief among the people saying in the summer, yeah, get the guy in whatever contract you can get him on and get him out in January for something. But then when you start to look at, well, what's the something? It's not clear what the something is. So it might not be till the summer. It might not be till sometime next year when something materializes to do something with his deal. I think there's a reason we've talked about it so much. And it's a lot more than just like, is Jonathan Kuminga good? Because it a lot of it also comes back to the overall central theme of what is the end of Steph Curry's career going to look like? And can the Warriors really have a shot to go toe-to-toe with this juggernaut and, I think, oncoming dynasty in Oklahoma City? And whether that happens or not probably is going to come down to either what I think is pretty unlikely, which is Jonathan Kuminga becoming some sort of a star, or that piece being part of a larger puzzle that gets the Warriors an impact player that gives them a puncher's chance in that series. And I'm not certain how that guy is going to arrive.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yeah, I mean, you talked into it. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that you hit exactly on what is dawning on me as I go through this exercise. The best deal for them is either maybe don't do it or get something. Get that first round pick if you can, Sacramento Kings. And maybe get Keon Ellis. Can you imagine getting an unprotected first or lightly protected first and Keon Ellis? I think that would be almost ideal for the Warriors. And then you have that pick to dangle the next time around. And you can go, okay, Giannis, for the Bucks, four first round picks instead of three. And one of them could be the third pick this year. That might be the way. And, you know, I don't know if the Kings would do it, but I think sometimes I think the Kings would just do almost anything that is stupid.
Well, so, listen, I was sitting on my couch again when I got home from the Garden last night, Wednesday night. I was sitting on my couch. I turned on the Kings-Hawks game, and not to turn this into a Kings pod, but that was a massacre. And, yeah, like I wouldn't be trading my first-round pick if I was Sacramento for anything, yeah. But who knows what's going on there.
That's the one where they wish they could do it right now. Because I think the Kings would do it right now. I mean, something crazy. Yes. You get to January, they might be out. You know what? Even the Kings might have some logic.
Yeah, by that point, again, they're probably – I mean, the way things are headed now, they're probably going to be so far out of it that they're not going to be interested in giving up their first-round pick right then. So, yeah, it's an interesting question. It's one that's not going away, and it does go right back to what is the path for Golden State to really get in the mix? And – you look at Houston, you look at Denver, you look at Oklahoma City especially, there's a gap. Like, it's a real gap, and it's going to be hard for them to bridge it, even with the ceiling they have when their guys are fully clicking, which we saw them last night in San Antonio.
Yeah, let's talk about the existential part of this. Is that your job is covering the league, your job is talking about the league. Is there, I don't want to say a danger, I'll say a challenge, when it does look like Oklahoma City is that much better than everybody, and that Denver is going to be the team that we can see with a threat to Oklahoma City. And then that's the whole league, everybody. Thank you very much. That's the whole league. It's going to come down to those two teams. Or can you argue your way into some other way? I guess, you know, it's always great to have dominant teams. The Warriors winning 73 certainly did not hurt the NBA.
Yeah.
But like it becomes this clear, Tim. And they don't even play each other, the Nuggets and the Thunder, until February, which is
unbelievable. I love watching this Thunder team. I think they're great. Like, they play the super aggressive style on defense. I love watching Shea. He's just smooth as silk on the court, making guys, just putting guys wherever he wants all the time. AJ Mitchell, second round two way guy. He would start for 25 teams in the league, probably, for sure. And he's, you know, their seventh or eighth guy probably when they're healthy. To your point, all I've been told for the past few years is that the CBA has ruined the sport. You can't have a dynastic team anymore. Dynasties are dead. Why did the NBA do this? Right. And look, long term, it's going to be hard to build. More difficult to build a dynastic team. But to your point, if I can't, as a huge basketball fan and somebody who like lives and breathes the sport, if I can't find a way to sell people or be excited about watching a team that looks like they could be the next great team in the league and could rip off four or five titles, like if they stay, again, knock on wood, they stay healthy. I mean, they're 12-1, Tim, and they're outscoring teams by 15.5 points a game, and their all-NBA forward has not played 1 second. Their elite two-way big has missed multiple games, right? The last two nights, they played back-to-back nights. They won by a combined trillion points, and they had four or five players out. Like, I got to be able to sell, to your point, like, how do you talk about that? I got to be able to sell people on, you're seeing one of the great teams in the history of the league. And like, get on the train, right? Like, get on the train and watch it. Cause, you know, like, and again, I've been thinking about this at the start of the year. It reminds me so much of watching that Warriors team 10 years ago that came into the season. And yeah, they had Steph, who was like a singular star from a buzz standpoint. And they're playing in the Bay, which is different than Oklahoma City. I get that. But you and I were around that team a lot, you even more than me. But like that team came in the season going, hey, we have heard all summer about how we didn't really win the title and injuries are why we won and weren't really that good. And we haven't won 66
jump shooting team.
Right. And we won 66 games. It didn't really count. It was a surprise. And like, oh yeah, those guys aren't that good. They're not going to win again. Like it was kind of a fluke. Right. And they go 24-0 to start the season. And these guys look like they might, like I said, they might go 24-1. Like they're awesome. So yeah, like I think it can be a challenge at times if they do look like they're just so much better than everybody. But you know, to me, looking around the NBA right now, you've got Victor, who's doing unprecedented things in San Antonio. You've got Jokic. Like I said, I was watching him last night. It was like a video game. I mean, he had 52 and three quarters. He ends up with 55. And if the Clippers were not dead in the water already, he might have had 65. You know, you've got just tons of talent all over the place. A lot of fun storylines around the league, a lot of chaos going on. You've still got Steph and LeBron and KD kicking around. So I think there's plenty to talk about. And, you know, it's been kind of a personal challenge to try to highlight the games this year and highlight.
I've noticed.
A lot of people have noticed. And I think the product's in an awesome place. And I like talking about the games and I want to talk about the games. And I, like I said, ultimately, if you can't get excited watching this Thunder team and watching like what could be, like they've got a chance to be the best team ever if this continues anywhere near this pace. Like they set the record last year for point differential and they outscored teams by like 12 and a half points per 100. Right now, they're outscoring teams by 15.5 per 100. Mm-hmm. Now, it's early in the season, but again, Jalen Williams has not played 1 second yet. So they're probably going to get better. So, yeah, I would like to think that we as a NBA media, and certainly at ESPN, where we cover the league more than anybody, I would like to think we can find a way to highlight these guys and get people to talk about them and care about them. And, you know, it shouldn't be that hard and hopefully we're able to do it.
Come on, Bontemps, you got to do it. Well, what they need is they need rivals. They need teams coming at them. And they obviously had 2-7 game series last year. So that's certainly part of the conversation. That's part of the reason why people thought they were beatable. Let's just be frank. I mean,
no, it's not. For sure. Yeah, that's the other comparison to the Warriors, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not like the Warriors wheezed their way through that 6-game series against the Cavs with those guys out. And, you know, they had some trouble with Memphis. Like, it wasn't like they had a breeze to the finals that year. But then they came back and they took care of business. And
wheezed their way. Warriors fans got to get mad at that. Wheezed their way. they put Andre Iguodala in the starting lineup. Who's other than Denver and Jokic, obviously a challenger. Who from the East? You know, are we going to take Detroit seriously? So who from the East is there, at least on any sort of level that you can talk about?
I had a running joke with a friend of mine that's the finals pick currently is Thunder and four
versus
for a while
versus blank.
You know, look, the East is going to be really interesting because it's so wide open. But look, the Knicks just got smacked by Orlando the second night of a back to back last night. We'll see how long Jalen Brunson's out. Sprained his ankle, left in a walking boot. That wasn't great. The Cavs have all sorts of injuries. Darius Garland's now out. Like Detroit is a great story. But Detroit can't hang with the Thunder, right? Orlando can't hang with the Thunder. I mean, Giannis is probably the MVP of the league. He's been completely insane this season. But like you saw last night, he didn't play and they lose by double digits to Charlotte.
Yep.
Right? Like I don't really think there's anybody. I think the Thunder are in a tier clearly by themselves, and then everybody is after that. But I would say that if somebody's going to beat them, my money would be on Denver and because of Jokic. And I could maybe see the Rockets giving them a real series just because of their size. So I don't think over seven games, they probably could hold up enough offensively. And then after that, like, I think these playoffs are going to be fascinating and wide open. And certainly there's an opportunity for somebody to make a move and jump up. You know, Detroit's got a ton of assets. Do they add to Cade, who might be the second best guy in the East right now? Like, could they be good enough to win the East? Yes. But if they do, I think it's kind of like when the Sixers played the Lakers in 01 or the Nets played the Lakers in 02. And it's like, it's just not really the same league at that point. Rather than it being some competitive series.
Got you here. You are based in New York. Clearly you get to the Knicks a lot. Not a ton of talk about Mike Brown and the Knicks, old friend, neighbor of mine, I'll point out. We know him very well around the Warriors. He's definitely the face of the franchise now. He's talking. No one else there talks.
No one else ever talks. It is coach, and that's it.
How is he doing with that? I think he's embracing that role, and how is it kind of taking in New York?
I mean, I think it's gone pretty well so far. I mean, you know, Tom Thibodeau obviously is a pretty singular character in New York. I think the thing that Tom, Tom has some relationship with St. Bonaventure, so I've known him for a while. And he's a good guy, even though like his public demeanor is kind of like gruff, standoffish guy. If anybody's ever spent any time around Tom privately, that's not the kind of personality he is. And the thing about Tom that he never really got a lot of credit for was he knew the New York media scene very well and had been around it as an assistant coach and like grew up in the metro area. So like he was very good at handling what it meant to be the Knicks coach and like diffusing controversies and sort of taking bullets for players. And like not the last few years, there's never been any drama really publicly like that with the Knicks. Right. Cause Tom just wouldn't entertain it. Like if anybody ever tried to criticize a player to Tom, he just wouldn't answer the question. He would talk around it and move on. And, you know, privately in films and stuff, Tom will go at anybody and would, you know, make your life miserable. But publicly, he was never going to do that. He was never going to say anything. That's not to say Mike has been doing that. But I think to your point, the interesting thing I was curious to see was coming into the season, how was Mike going to handle all of that stuff? Because being the Knicks coach is a unique challenge. Like, it's the number one team in New York City by a mile. Everybody here who's a basketball fan is a Knicks fan, virtually. The Knicks, the Yankees and Mets are more or less 50-50. Maybe it's 60-40 Yankee fans. The Jets and Giants, same thing. Maybe it's 60-40. It's probably less. Like, it's kind of like the national political discourse. It's more or less, there's kind of two tribes for both sports. The Knicks, though, everybody's a Knicks fan. And everybody's got an opinion, and it's like people here are just dying for the Knicks to win. And coming off last season when they got to the conference finals and lost, and with Jason Tatum hurt and with Tyrese Halliburton hurt, the East is wide open. The Knicks are sitting there. They fire their coach. They bring in Mike Brown. The only acceptable outcome will be making the finals. Like, I don't think people will be mad if the Knicks lose to the Thunder. I think they'll get that. But they better play the Thunder. Right? They better be in the finals. And that's a lot of pressure to walk into with a veteran roster that's used to playing in a certain way. And look, like, they laid an egg against the Magic, second night of a back-to-back, didn't have any legs, didn't play well. But they were averaging 129 points per 100 possessions in November before that game. And Mike has them moving the ball and playing great. And we'll see what happens with Jalen. Hopefully he's not out for a long time. But I think he's settled into the job pretty well. And, you've been in a lot of big markets, Tim. You know how this stuff works. If the team is winning games, it's going to feel pretty good. And the Garden is as fun a place to play and work when the team is good as there is in the league. And if they have a rough stretch, like they did when they lost three in a row the second week of the season, it's not a very fun place to be. And you've got people coming after you after five games. So, you know, it, like the Warriors, there will be, I think, a lot of twists and turns in this next season, but I think Mike has handled it pretty well. And I think the way things are sitting right now, you know, the Knicks have everything in front of them and every reason to believe if they can get into the dance healthy, that they can go toe-to-toe with and beat anybody. And that's both a great opportunity and comes with a lot of expectations. And, you know, we'll see how Mike handles that over the next several months.
You guys are puppy dogs. Come on, we all know that. New York media, that's nothing, nothing. New York Post back page, nobody cares about that. The Knicks surely don't care about
that. Well, yeah, the Knicks care plenty. The Knicks care plenty about that. I should also say, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure you ran across Larry Brooks some in your...
Oh, yeah, legendary.
Legendary hockey writer at the Post, passed away.
Maybe the greatest American hockey writer ever.
I mean, I'm very biased for a reason I will tell in a second, but I would say undisputedly, like Larry, I mean, anybody who grew up within 150 miles of New York City read Larry for the last 40 years. And he was a even better guy. And he was the kind of guy that when you first met him, like I did as a young guy who would grown up with family in the tri-state area and had read the Post as a kid, Larry was not the most showy guy emotion wise. And he was very much like, look like your dad all the time. And so it was hard to get a read on him, especially at first. And he could be a pretty intimidating guy. And this is a guy who's like, you know, going at it with Tortorella and like clearly not afraid of anybody. But when you got to know him, which I was fortunate to get to know him very well, he was the best mentor you could have. He was one of the first people that really believed in me when I was an agate clerk at the Post. He asked for me to be the backup on the Rangers beat, which was a huge deal at the time for me. It was my first chance to really do anything. Helped me break a story or two on the Ranger beat. One, ironically, that ended up on ESPN.com on Thanksgiving many years ago when I was covering a Rangers Thanksgiving trip in Florida because there was nothing else happening on Thanksgiving morning. So I had a story that was different than everybody else. And so ESPN.com picked it up many years before they had a lot more of my stories. And he was just an incredible guy. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
That was very tough news to see this morning. Because he was still writing up until like 3 weeks ago. It was a very, very short bout with cancer, but just an awesome dude and truly legendary guy.
Yeah, I didn't know him. I obviously saw him a few times. There are very few writers, sports writers for sure, who are universally respected, everyone is, that's the best. Peter King, I could throw in there. Like, there's
I would say he's the Peter King of hockey. Yep. I think that's the perfect comparison for it. Like, people who follow the sport, like, everybody respected Larry immensely.
Yeah, there was just no discussion about it. Everyone knows it. If you're good, you know it. If you're bad, you know it. If you're in the middle, you know it. So, yeah, I won't ask you the traditional question, because that's a great way to end this. I didn't realize that you were so close to him. It's a great way. Great writing, great work, great reporting. It means something. It does.
Yeah.
And the people who do it know when it's there, and it certainly was there for Larry.
Here's all you have to know about Larry Brooks. James Dolan, who I think we can all agree is not exactly a fan of the media. I'm going to pull this up quick. Had this to say in the New York Post today, in the obituary by my fellow Bonaventure graduate, Mike Vaccaro, another legend. This is the quote that it's going to take me 3 seconds to find it, but Dolan, here we go. Quote, besides the stellar job Larry did covering the Rangers, what few people know is that he and I would meet on occasion and he would give me his unabashed opinion on how the franchise was doing and what we needed to do to win. This never appeared in any of his columns, but I found his advice to be invaluable and will miss it dearly.
Wow.
I will just say.
Wow.
If you have the ability to get Dolan to sit down with you and talk to you about what he thinks your team should be doing, a guy who doesn't let NBA team personnel in the building without a Knicks credential because he doesn't recognize the NBA credential, I think that shows you the level of respect that the guy had from everybody. So.
Institution, and great way to end this. As always, Bon Temps, great talking to you. We hear your voice all the time. As you know, the Hoop Collective is one of my favorite podcasts and makes me laugh in many, many different ways, and full of great information. Stock report. There's another thing. I don't think you write a little bit. I'm not sure. Maybe you do.
A little bit.
Great to see you when you were out here earlier this season. I'm sure you'll be out here again. Or possibly see you for the playoffs, all those other things. Great. Timmy, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Anytime, TK. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right, so show for today, everybody. Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.